This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the war in Sudan. The death toll is difficult to assess, but the BBC has reported more than 150,000 people have been killed in the past 2 years. It started as a civil war. It's devolved into what the U.S. government in January called a genocide. The Rapid Support Forces, an Arab paramilitary group backed by the United Arab Emirates, has executed a campaign of mass violence on the country's minority black ethnic groups. The Sudanese population in the United States is small, according to the latest U.S. Census data, about 92,000 people overall, 2,579 of them in Illinois. A significant share of that number have joined the community in the Quad Cities. And among them are the family of Samir Abdul. He's a stand-up comedian and artist-in-residence at Northwestern University. Today, Samir is based in Chicago, but he was born in Sudan, grew up in the Quad Cities, and he has a personal connection to what's going on as a survivor of the Darfur genocide in the early 2000s. He has fun following the events in his native country. Like any good artist, he's also mined his own life experiences for his work. Let's hear a clip from one of his shows at the Lincoln Lodge in Chicago.
I'm from Sudan, that's, you know, Africa. Yeah. This is pretty amazing, you guys know. Most Africans are tall, strong, athletic. That's what most Africans are. Not Sudan, man. Not us, you know. We all look like Kevin Hart. This is unbelievable. You just keep making more Kevin Hart, you know? I don't know, man. I've been chilling with my dad a lot. My dad, you know, for the first 10 years in this country, I was in the Midwest. My dad was in New York working as a taxi driver so that I can go to college and not do this.
Samir, very funny. Thank you so much for being here with us on the 21st show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your early life.
My early life, you know, I got to spend my childhood split between America and Egypt, as well as Darfur, Sudan, right? I was, in my early childhood, I was in travel a lot in Darfur, and then eventually, then I was in Egypt as a refugee, and then from there I came here in my early teens to America.
I know you were very young in Sudan. Do you have memories of what it was like living there at that time?
Oh, yes. I have very vivid memories. I mean, as it is right now, as everything Sudan's going through, there was a time where I, as a child, sometimes the beautiful thing about being a child is that you ignore the atrocities that are around you and you see the beauty in it, you know? And sometimes you don't realize if everyone's kind of going through the same thing, it becomes normalized, and you feel like, oh, we're doing good, we're okay, you know. So yeah. I had fun time in Darfur. I traveled a lot when I was there as a child, and then same thing as I moved to Egypt. You know, I got to explore a lot in Egypt, and that's where I kind of developed my identity a bit more, and then eventually move to America and learn more.
So you said you were a teenager. When did your family come to the States?
We came here in 2007.
And why the Quad Cities, of all places?
That is an excellent question that I've asked myself till this day.
Had you ever worn a winter coat before that?
No. So snow was a whole off topic, but no, I've never had necessarily a winter coat until I moved to America.
Yeah. So tell me about what, do you understand, or do you have any memory or from your knowledge of why your family chose the Quad Cities, or were you sort of sent there by an organization, or?
I think, you know, as people naturally move to whatever, you know, country they go, they try to look for others that are similar, maybe other Sudanese that they can relate to. So in Iowa, the Quad City wasn't the first place. We went to Des Moines, Iowa. There was a big Sudanese population in Iowa in general, which is Iowa City. And I like to make jokes with my parents, letting them know that, hey, I think you guys picked the wrong city in Iowa. Des Moines is 2 hours outside of Iowa City, which is Iowa City is the biggest Sudanese population in the country at the time. And so
Oh,
I think my
interesting.
parents tried to get to Iowa City, and then eventually we landed in Des Moines. And then from there, we spent a few months there, and then eventually Quad City for work. My dad had
Okay.
a job.
All right. Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Samir Abdul. He's a stand-up comedian, also currently artist in residence at Northwestern University. He's based in Chicago, born in Sudan, grew up in the Quad Cities, as we've been talking about, and he has a personal connection to what's going on as a survivor of the genocide in Darfur in the early 2000s. We're going to talk more with Samir after a short break. You're listening to the 21st show. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st show comes from the Des Moines Arts Center, presenting Manuel Alvarez Bravo, a pioneer of Mexican photography, featuring collaborators like Frida Kahlo, Diego Rivera, and more. On view through January 18th. More information at DesMoinesArtsCenter.org.
It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we are talking today about Sudan, in particular the human rights catastrophe that's been unfolding there. More than 150,000 people have been killed, according to the BBC. 12 million have been displaced. This is a civil war, some have called it. The United States government in January called it a genocide. There's a group called the Rapid Support Forces, which is an Arab paramilitary group backed by the United Arab Emirates that's executed mass violence on the country, particularly minority black ethnic groups. And we began the program talking with a human rights lawyer and another international expert about that. And now we're hearing about someone's personal experience of having been born and spent part of their childhood in Sudan and then moved to America. Samir Abdul is a stand-up comedian, artist in residence at Northwestern. Born in Sudan, grew up in the Quad Cities. Today he's based in Chicago, and he has been following the latest events in his country of origin. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. So, Samir, that very funny bit about going to college, your father helping put you through college so that you didn't have to do this, being a comic. How did you get into comedy?
I'm a huge fan of Jon Stewart from The Daily Show. Jon Stewart and Trevor Noah, those two characters are what kind of influenced me to do comedy. When I was in college, I was as most immigrants, the STEM department is what they focus heavily on. And for me in particular, instead of that, I was very, focused on going to medical school. So I was focused on that, and then eventually I stumbled across The Daily Show, and I just kept on just watching it everywhere. I'm in the bathroom watching The Daily Show. I'm everywhere. And that was from there on, I thought it was so powerful to have that voice where you can share anything in a comedic way. And to me, that was real power. And eventually, at some point, I didn't know I was going to do comedy, and I was with a couple of friends in the Iowa area. We were in a bar, and then someone there was an open mic, and the host came up and gave me the mic. He's like, "You want to do some stage time?" And I thought that was pretty insulting, so I went up and I was started just making fun of the room, and from there was the beginning of a journey.
I was going to say, what was that first experience like? Because, you mentioned watching The Daily Show. A lot more people watch The Daily Show than have the courage to pick up a microphone and stand in front of a room of people. So what was that like for you? How did you find the courage to do that?
One thing I do, I guess for me was I've I've always enjoyed being around people, especially and when I was in Iowa. So I didn't really have any hesitant going on the stage. I just thought I had something to say right now. And that we were sitting there, and this is Iowa, and we're a very white populated restaurant that we were there, or a bar that we were there. And me and a couple of friends were the only minorities that were there. And this guy came up to me, he's like, "You guys want to do stage time?" And I was like, "How dare would he say that to us?" So I went up and started making fun of them. And then ironically, that became funny. And from there on, I was like, maybe he's onto something that I didn't know.
So what, I wonder how your past, right? I mean, being a genocide survivor, how does that make its way into your art or into your comedy?
Yeah, it's a good question. When I'm doing stand up for the first few years, you're not really thinking of the atrocities of the past, and talking about the conflict of Sudan is such a heavy thing. So you're not thinking about that. You're looking at more of the comedians in your circle or in whatever given city you're in, and what they're talking about. What's the newest thing everyone's talking about? You're thinking about that while you're also thinking about your own identity of who you are and what struggles you're going through in America. And then eventually, as you foster your voice a bit more, then you have to start now talking about your identity in general, what makes you you. And then that's when I learned that the conflict in Sudan has shaped me a lot. And I started to bring that up on the stage. It's a very heavy topic. And my job is, when I create this tension, I have to relieve that tension through laughter. I can't just say something so heavy and leave the audience lingering in that emotion without relieving that tension through comedy. So whenever, that kind of became the superpower for me. So I would say something heavy, maybe, like, I grew up in the middle of a genocide in Sudan, and that already gets the room to be very tense. And then say something, a punchline could be like, "And I thought that was pretty bad. I thought it can't get worse than a genocide. But boy, was I wrong, because we landed in Iowa." That gets the room to go,
I was going to ask how audiences react to that, but you're giving them the out, right? You're giving them, the pressure release. Yeah.
Yes.
Talk about constructing material. I'm always interested in this. There's so many different techniques that comics have for constructing their material. Are you, a yellow pad person? Are you trying things out, or more improvisatory? How do you approach your work?
Yeah. I normally, every day, I would spend about an hour writing by myself. And then you go try to step on the stage. But there's also another component, you write also on the stage, So, and those are the two things I normally do. I write by myself, then go on the stage and try to expand on that idea on the stage and see if I can further this, joke even more. And that's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do audiences seem to understand? Do they have the background knowledge to understand, even where Sudan is, let alone what is happening there now?
Most audience, I like to think they do, but my job is to go in there assuming they don't. So then if I'm gonna talk about Sudan, I need to let them know the premise and of the background of what is Sudan and where is that Sudan, and sometimes I'll do small jokes, as like if I'm in a big Midwestern city, where then I'll be like, "Hey, I'm from Sudan. By the way, that is in Africa. I see a couple of you guys are Googling it right now," right? And so, and the job is to never make fun of anyone, but rather kind of, give it a little of a joke by also uplifting them, and it's okay if you don't know. That's kind of what I told them.
Yeah. So I mentioned you're also an artist in residence at Northwestern. What does that entail? What is that like?
Yeah. I've been fortunate enough to get this job of very recently, and basically I'm kind of responsible for organizing events, particularly comedy shows and other artists that are coming in town. So I'll be the person who's responsible in coordinating that event. Along with that, I also get to get to teach a little bit. You know, I get to kind of be with the artists and at the school, have a class session with other artists that I could bring in myself, and we have workshops. So those are the kind of stuff that I get to do.
So let me remind listeners, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Samir Abdul, who is a comedian and artist in residence at Northwestern. He was born in Sudan, grew up in the Quad Cities, based in Chicago today. And he's a survivor of the Darfur genocide. And Samir, I wanted to ask you about that. How, you know, what you've come to understand about yourself and, you know, like you said, you're not as aware of things when you're a kid. Sometimes you process them a little differently as you age. And how that's influenced how you're, you know, following the news back in Sudan today.
Yeah. One thing that I look at it from is that Sudan is so complicated, and so, which is why I believe is very difficult for people outside of Sudan to kind of even speak about Sudan, because they don't know where to start, right? So for me, as a child, when I'm this conflict that's happening today, it's not something new. It's been going on for generations. And in the early 2000s, it was happening predominantly in the Darfur area, which is where I'm from, and I didn't really kind of grasp how dangerous this situation is that I'm in. There was a time where, I think the last thing I remember was I was with my family, with my mom, my grams and aunties. And I remember in 2 a.m. in the middle of the night, there was a lot of gunshots happening. And I remember my aunties are talking that it has reached the village. So right away, we all start evacuating, and we're going to the woods. And my mom carrying my youngest sibling at the time. And as a 7 years old, I realized, oh, I think we might be in danger, And I'm walking barefoot in the woods with the family, and I looked around. And you look at the adults for guidance, and you look at them as the protectors. But when you realize they're also in fear, something is happening. And I remember that day, I remember how serious this situation is. And then from there, we went to Al-Fashir and stayed for a year there. And then eventually from that, we went to the capital, Khartoum, and then to Egypt and so forth. Going back 2017 to Al-Fashir and learning more about the village that I was raised, is completely annihilated. And the village that my pops was also raised is also annihilated. So this was a very common thing for especially my parents, because they know this was happening for a while. But as of right now, it's nice that the world is talking about it, because it has reached the likes of the capital, and the entire country is affected. So I think if there's anything is that this was happening now, if there's anything unify the country together, as everyone's kind of speaking up and saying, we need better, we need to stop this. This is not how the country should be. So there's that light, that light that comes out of it, that is, now we're all united. Suffering brings people together sometimes,
I wonder if you still have family in Sudan and what you may have heard from them.
Oh, yes. A lot of families, all my grams, uncles, aunties, cousins, they're all right now in camps. A lot of them are in the Zamzam camps. Which is outside of Fashir, and I have few in Egypt, but predominantly a lot of them are still in Darfur, so every now and then I get to contact them depending on an internet connection.
And what do they say, if anything, that they would like to see the world or the United States doing to try and change the situation there?
That's a good question. If anything, they say keep us on your prayers, and keep speaking up. That's the message I keep getting from a lot of them, that keep speaking up, keep sharing, and let the world know. Let them keep speaking. Every voice matter, and keep us in your prayers. That is is exactly the words my grandma said.
Well, Samir Abdul, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share some of your life story with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Samir Abdul is a stand-up comedian. I should mention his next show, if you want to check him out, is at the Speakeasy in Rock Island, November 21st, 8 p.m. We'll have a link to that with more information on our website. That's all the time we have for our show today. We love hearing from you about what we've been talking about. If you have advice on what you think we should have done differently, let us know about it. Maybe you want to suggest topics or guests for future conversations. We'd love to hear that too. The best way to get in touch with us is email. talk@21stshow.org is our address. talk@21stshow.org. You can find that. Links to our past conversations, our voicemail line, every other way to get in touch with us, social media, it's all on our website, 21stshow.org. Coming up tomorrow, free speech is a fundamental right in America, but it's facing many challenges this year, from the Trump administration to universities to television networks. We'll hear from a trio of Illinois reporters who have been covering free speech challenges across the Midwest. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Harrison Malkin, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Kulsum Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen. Just look for The 21st Show. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.